Good morning. Welcome to Bethel as we gather around God's grace, love, and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. As a pastor, I want to assume that you're all just in a very meditative, prayerful moment, a prayerful mood this morning. Or you're just really tired because you're all very, very quiet today. But that's okay to come before the Lord in that quietness and that peace, knowing that He is with us. I'm assuming, though, that you will open your voices as we sing and speak to God. Today, our focus is on Galatians. Actually, this week and next week, we'll be looking at the two parts of the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Today, we focus on the fact that there is no other gospel, that any other kind of teaching, any other way in the world, that it's not true gospel unless it's through Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross and the resurrection. So that's our focus today. That salvation, that gospel, comes to us because of God's generosity, and our order of service is the generosity service. We begin with the opening hymn, Glory Be to God the Father. Please stand to sing.
Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, great Jehovah, three in one, glory, glory, while eternal ages run. Glory be to Him who loved us, washed us from each spot and stain. Glory be to Him who bought us, made us kings with Him to reign. Glory, glory to the Lamb that once was slain. Glory to the King of angels, glory to the church's King. Glory to the King of nations, heaven and earth your praises bring. Glory, glory to the King of glory, sing. Glory, blessing, praise eternal, thus the choir of angels sings. Honor, riches, power, dominion, thus its praise creation brings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of kings.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. A generous person will prosper. The one who refreshes others will also be refreshed. We have different gifts according to the grace, the gift of God given to us. If it is encouraging,
let him encourage.
If it is contributing to the needs of others,
let him give generously.
If it is leadership,
let him lead diligently.
If it is showing mercy,
let him do it cheerfully.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Amen. Confess. Admit your sin before the Lord and before one another. In our sinful condition, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passion and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Your baptism into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit he poured out on you generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that now we are made right in God's eyes. You are justified by his grace, a free gift to you through God's generosity. You are forgiven, made right, justified in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we inherit all the riches of the kingdom of God as his children. You inherit the gift of the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Christ the eternal Lord, whose promise here we claim, whose gifts of grace are freely poured on all who name your name. With thankfulness and praise, we stand before your throne, intent to serve you and make your glory known.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. First, we hear from the gospel today as we hear about Jesus calling on the Pharisees to realize that they have not been teaching the whole truth of God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so Jesus went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that Jesus did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness, you fools. Did not he who made you, made the outside, make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." One of the lawyers answered Jesus, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And he said, "Woe to you, lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, For you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. As Jesus went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things. They were lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. That's our traditional response, but there is no gospel there. And yet it is a reminder that Jesus was telling them, you have not spoken of the full things of God. You have burdened them with the law of God, but you have not given the good news, which is exactly what we hear in our next two readings.
Today's focus, Paul's letter to the Galatians, from Galatians 1, chapter 1. A letter from Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all of the brothers who are with me, sent to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning with the 32nd verse. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. But you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of God, you converted the Apostle Paul from persecutor of the church to courageous preacher of the true gospel. May we know this true gospel. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Deliver us from all false gospels so that we remain faithful to Christ alone, whose death and resurrection are the source of our salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. To get at the idea of what Paul is talking about in Galatians and how important it was that he declared that what was being taught in the churches in Galatia was not the true gospel. In order to get at that, I wanted to show you a short clip from the movie Princess Bride. How many of you have seen Princess Bride? All right, so a completely wacky fairy tale. This is a kind of a couple of different scenes. And we'll see why that's important in a moment.
Why are you doing that?
Are you sure nobody's following us?
That would be inconceivable.
Because by what you think, you will be caught. And when you are, the prince will see you all hanged.
Are you sure nobody's following us?
As I told you, you would be absolutely totally.
And no one in Florida ever got there so bad. He's clearing the road. And he's getting with us.
Inconceivable.
So inconceivable, right? He keeps using that word, and he's not using it correctly, because inconceivable would be beyond anything we could think of. And for him, Vizzini, the guy who captured the Princess Buttercup, for him, it is inconceivable that anybody could keep up with him and follow him. But it's not actually inconceivable, because there it is, it's happening. It can be imagined that Wesley would follow them and save Princess Buttercup. And I love how Inigo Montoya says, "You keep using that word. I do not think that word means what you think it means." That really was not on purpose. That's my phone somehow ringing through my computer. All right. The gospel. You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. Just like Vizzini uses inconceivable to... Sorry. Okay. Just like inconceivable, he was using that word in a way that didn't make sense. Paul was telling the Galatians that there are teachers in the church who are using gospel in a way that it doesn't mean gospel. And that was the problem. Turn to Galatians chapter 1 in your bulletins. Paul had received credible reports that some false teachers had risen up in the church in Galatia. Galatia is in the eastern part of modern-day Turkey. He had heard reports that these rival teachers, they were Jews who had come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Just like the disciples were Jews who came to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Just like Paul was a Jew who came to believe that Jesus is the Christ. But these rival teachers in Galatia were requiring all Gentiles to become Jews first before they could become Christians. All Gentiles, non-Jews, had to follow the whole law of Moses and then become Christians. That's what these rival teachers were teaching. And that meant for the men that they needed to be circumcised before they could believe in Jesus. Even the adults needed to be circumcised. The rival teachers were still calling this gospel. But Paul is writing to say, you keep using that word, the gospel. I don't think it means what you think it means. Because look at the Galatians there, verses 3 and 4. He starts this letter with just this great summary of the gospel. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God our Father. Nowhere in there does it say, and then go do this. And then go and follow all the laws of Moses, and then you will have salvation. When Paul says the gospel, it is gospel, meaning good news. Jesus gave himself for us to deliver us from the present evil age. Jesus gave himself on the cross, and through the resurrection will give us salvation. That's gospel. That's good news. That's pure gift. And Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia to warn them, what you have been hearing from these teachers, it sounds right, but it's not true gospel. And actually, Paul is writing much more forcefully than Inigo Montoya. Look, Inigo Montoya says, you keep using that word, I do not think it means what you think it means. Like, he's sort of challenging, but he's kind of doing it in a gentle way. Look at how Paul writes. The letter starts like a normal letter from Paul. He starts with a letter from Paul, and then he explains. He is sending it to the churches in Galatia. He gives them that two-sentence greeting in verses 3 and 4, and then he wastes no time. There is no part about, like, I'm thankful for you, or I've been praising God for you. Other letters talk about, you know, I praise God for the faith that is in you, and I'm so thankful. And even if Paul has to go on to add corrections later, he does that later. First, he starts with just a gentle, like, I'm so thankful for you. Notice what he does here in the letter to the Galatians, verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. He is wasting no time. He is forcefully saying, you are not using the word gospel according to what it means. And he goes on, he talks about them deserting the gospel, a distortion of the gospel. And when he says, if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. He is willing to damn an angel from heaven if that angel isn't preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. That's how forceful Paul is. And he says it twice, let him be accursed, which is really, let him be damned. Let him suffer judgment for preaching a different gospel. Paul comes on with full force in this letter. But why use such force? because they were distorting the gospel. They were taking it from being a gift of God for salvation into something that required people to earn it. They were turning it into a burden. Why use such force? Well, Jesus shows us that he also used that same force. In our reading today, the Pharisees are teaching the law of God in such a way as to burden the people. The Pharisees, and when it says the lawyers, it means those who were experts in the law of Moses. They were teaching it in a way that burdened the people. And it made themselves look holy. Oh, we get the best seats in the synagogue and we get greetings in the marketplace because we are holy. But what it meant is for all other people, it left them feeling unworthy. And Jesus, he doesn't just calmly say, I think you're teaching wrong, maybe. No, he says, they are fools. They are full of greed and wickedness. He says, woe to you, which means like there's grief, there's sadness, there's judgment on you. And he says, woe to you 6 times. I mean, lots of people have told me out in the world, in conversations, lots of people have told me I like Jesus, but I like to focus on how Jesus loved all people, and Jesus does love all people. He came to die for all people. But part of the depth of his love is that he forcefully rejects false teaching. When people say, I love Jesus and how he loves all people, they probably don't think of Luke 11. But if you don't have Luke 11, with Jesus telling the Pharisees to get in their place and to know that what they are saying about God is not the full picture, if you don't have Jesus saying that, then we might end up with something that isn't true, full gospel. It's gospel and. It's gift of salvation and do this. And so Jesus is forceful. Paul is forceful. There is no other gospel except for the gift through Jesus Christ. And any other teaching will be a burden, will be a distortion, and will not actually be love. But now maybe you're thinking, okay, Jesus can pronounce judgment on false teachers because he's Jesus, right? He's Son of God, so we'll give him that. And Paul was an apostle called directly by Jesus, and he was concerned for the beginning days of the church. So we'll give Paul this, that he can be forceful about this. But for us today, to go around saying, no, there is no other gospel, don't we need to be more gentle? Not be quite so hung up on how things are said or taught, as long as it's about Jesus. We start to feel that way, like, I don't know if we should be quite that forceful. And don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place for these conversations. It's not the immediate conversation right away. But if we don't call one another on what's true and what's false, if we don't point out what's false in the world, where does that leave us? It might leave us with a distorted gospel. So you tell me, what would you do if I was preaching this? I said, if I said, go, follow the Ten Commandments. And when you get those commandments down, like, you know, the back of your hand, like you really are living those Ten Commandments every day, after that, then come back and we'll talk about Jesus. Okay, what are you going to do if I preach that way? Oh, guess it's okay. So, go follow all the Ten Commandments. When you get them down perfectly, then we'll talk about salvation. You'd walk with your feet and go somewhere else. Okay, that would be one way of reacting. How else would you react? What? Let's talk. Okay, that's a very gentle way. Anybody got the hook for me? Pull me off stage? What? Thank you. Thank you. and now he's walking with his feet. How about it? Because it doesn't, that's not gospel. That's not gospel. It's not good news. It sounds like a burden to learn the Ten Commandments and follow them perfectly before you can find out about the grace of Jesus. How about sometimes popular preachers on TV, or really even these books show up in Christian bookstores, so you have to be careful sometimes. Things like saying, as long as you believe strongly in God, then you can change your life, you'll be healed, and you'll have the life you want. Is that gospel? No. Because what it's saying is if you are not healed, if your life isn't put back together, then it must be that you didn't believe enough. And that puts the work on you, rather than focusing on the gift of God. What if I told you I had received a new gospel? Actually saw this, that some mega pastor had said this. I have received a new gospel, and this is what I want to preach to you. Would you let me go unchallenged? Bob, are you turning my mic off if I say I have a new gospel? All right. He said yes, so he can stay as elder. What if I say, if you truly believe in God, he would be pouring out wealth and riches on you as part of his spiritual blessing? That's not gospel. Especially when I follow it up with, you'll be poured out on wealth, and of course, then you'll return the wealth to the church. What's at stake here for us to keep clear about what the gospel is? What's at stake is the gospel, because there is no other gospel. You will find no other place, no other teaching except in Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, salvation in him. No other place that is good news. Nothing else is really good news. It sounds sort of good, but it also sounds sort of like a burden. There is nothing like the freedom in Jesus Christ, the comfort, the relief of the gospel, where our sins are right there before God, and he says, I see them, but I have removed them from you so that you can be my holy people and you can be with me for eternity. That's relief. And anything less than that is a burden. And what's at stake is being accursed. I mean, if we teach anything else, and I don't think we are, but it's always a good reminder, if we teach anything else, we are subject to judgment for leading people astray. We're also, what's at stake is attracting a crowd for the wrong reasons. I mean, the reason the Galatians probably started to listen to these false teachers is because how Jesus was teaching seemed new. It wasn't new. It goes all the way back in the scriptures, but it seemed new. And so when the rival teachers came and they said, these Jewish practices have been practiced this long, they thought, well, they're ancient. We should follow those. But what got lost in that is that what Jesus was teaching wasn't new. What it was a fulfillment. And so it attracted them to follow the teachings. And we could do the same thing. We could have so many rituals and try to go back to some ancient ways, and they seem all ancient and wonderful. But if we've lost the gospel, then they're nothing. Or we could go on to try to have something new, because we always want something shiny. But if we attract a crowd because we're trying to do something shiny and new, are we really still focused on the gospel? Finally, what's at stake is assurance. If we preach, if we teach, if we talk about, if we gather around anything but the gospel in Jesus, what's at stake is assurance. Assurance of salvation. Blessed assurance. I mean, what we teach from Scripture is that you can know for certain that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose again to give you eternal life. God did that for you. You are assured of that salvation. And if you ever hear someone teaching or preaching or writing in a book, or singing in a song, or in conversation, if you ever hear something that doesn't point to that full assurance, then step back. Maybe pause for let's talk first. But then eventually you just say, woe to you. Don't put something in my mind that leads to questioning, you know, would God really love me? Would he really forgive me? Do I really deserve eternal life? When all those questions start going, we no longer have the gospel. So we keep the one gospel. We receive the gift of salvation, and God offers that gift of salvation through us. We keep the one gospel there in verse 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Peace comes from the grace. And it says, grace to you. That's an important translation. It's not grace be with you or may grace be with you. No, grace to you. God brings his grace to you. He is gifting you. He is gracious to you. He is bringing you the gift of salvation. And that's where our peace comes from. One last thought. And it comes from the Hebrews passage today. Hebrews talks about that, about shrinking back, like cowering, like shrinking back from what the truth is, not going full force into the truth. And Hebrews says, we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are not those who shrink back from the gospel and then receive judgment because we didn't keep the gospel. We are those who will not shrink back. We have this gospel. It is this tremendous gift. Do not shrink back. Offer it to one another. Offer it to people around you. Rejoice in it today. It is being offered to you. Do not shrink back. Grace to you in the meal today, and peace. Amen. Our offerings are received and our prayer requests. In our prayer requests, we give thanks for the preschool year and ask God's blessings on preparations for the next year. We also give thanks for the Go Gurney walking campaign. We had about 30 people here on Thursday night who went out for a walk before church. A number of them Park District employees, because the Park District invited the whole staff to come walk with Bethel on Thursday night. Few of those people stayed with us for worship, but it's just been great how we've been able to be connected with the community in that way. On this Memorial Day weekend, in remembrance of those who served in the armed forces, also for God's guidance on the LCMS Armed Forces Ministry. You got the pamphlet about that today. Also safety on this Memorial Day weekend for travelers. And especially these holiday weekends seem to always up the amount of violence in our cities. We give thanks with Craig Johnson, successful angioplasty. Is that the right term? Cardiac, what he said. He had a heart procedure on Friday. He is here. He's looking good, too. So give thanks for God for that. We pray for Lucille Owey, Lori Rizzo's mother, who's been moved at Victory Lakes from independent living to memory care. So we pray for Lucille in her transition. Ellen Dalrymple asks us to pray for her sister Diane and her brother Mark, who were both diagnosed with ALS. Christian and Caleb Falls, we prayed for them a few weeks ago when their father suddenly passed away. The Falls are friends of Bethel. A couple of families used to go to them for childcare. Christian Caleb's father died suddenly a couple of weeks ago, and now their father's brother, their uncle, passed away this week. So we pray for them during a very difficult season. We pray for a friend of Sheila Bunnell, Julian, who continues to have post-leukemia treatment issues. and also friends of Stephanie Bunnell, who we give thanks today for their wedding, Marvin and Tony. Are there other prayers that we can offer this morning? Yes, Sue. Oh, that's right. Maddie Bess heads to France this week, and so we pray for Maddie. When do you leave? Wednesday, and how long are you gone again? 2 weeks. So we pray for her experience in France. Speaking of travel, is Steve coming back?
He goes again Friday.
Oh, he goes again Friday. Okay, all right. Well, we'll continue to pray for Steve Best as he travels for work back and forth to Israel. Other prayers? All right. Let's stand in, and join in the offertories printed.
Take my life, our Lord, it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee.
Praise be to You, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is Yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from You. You are the ruler of all things. In Your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give You thanks and praise Your glorious name. But who are we that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from You, and we have given You only what comes from Your hand. Amen. Father, we give You thanks for what You have given to us in the gospel. Help us not to shrink back from that gospel, but to declare it fully, that in our sin, we are in need of salvation. And You have come to deliver us from our sins, from death, to give us eternal life through Jesus Christ alone, in His work alone and not our own work. Help us to know that gospel, to know that assurance, to share that assurance, and never shrink back from that assurance. Lord, we give You thanks for the ways in which our preschool this year was able to offer that gospel to the children and families. We thank You for those who were encouraged in faith, who saw ways in which their faith could be more of a part of their daily lives. And we pray that You would bless those families as they go from here. We also ask that You would bless the preparations for another school year, that You would bless and keep our staff in the preparations, and even now watching over the families who will bring their children in the fall. Lord, we give You thanks for the Go Gurney walking campaign and the ways that the Park District has encouraged our community to be out walking, to be healthy, to enjoy Your creation. We also give You thanks for the ways in which this was a park bench, a way to connect with our community. I pray that through those conversations, people will be able to see how You care for them in all aspects of their lives, and that there is also the offer of the true gospel. We pray that You would be with those who pause this weekend in remembrance of those who lost their lives serving in the armed forces. We give You thanks for the ways in which friends and family have served and protected this country. We pray that You continue to be with those who are serving now. We also ask for God's guidance, or for your guidance on the LCMS Armed Forces Ministry, that you would go with our chaplains and be amidst churches that serve directly on bases. And we pray that all armed forces personnel would be able to be encouraged in that gospel that brings the grace and mercy of Jesus. We ask for safety on this Memorial Day weekend. Bless those who are traveling. Bring them home again safely. We also ask that you would watch over our cities. As violence often escalates during holiday weekends, we pray that you would help cooler heads to prevail, that you would help communities come together around you and bring an end to violence. Lord, we give you thanks today for Craig Johnson and for bringing him through his heart procedure. We thank you for the blessings of the doctors and the nurses, the staff, and for the ways in which his health has been improved. We pray that you continue to watch over him. Be with all those that we name today who struggle in health. Be with June Doherty, Susie Litzau McKay, Joanne Heidloff, Randy Kitlinski, Bev Hallman. With Lucille Owey, we ask that you'd watch over her in her transition to memory care. Bless and keep her in those confusing moments. Help her to know your peace. Be with Dee Newby, Rhoda Bergman, Marge and Frank Benora, Harry Threadgill, Gail Olson's father, Rich Walker's sister, Susan Squires' mother, Javier Ramon's mother, Ryan Kruger's mother, Sue, Carla Thompson's mother-in-law, Barb, Paul DeLassus' sister-in-law, Irene, a server at Heritage Woods, Ellen Dalrymple's sister, Diane, and brother Mark, both with a difficult diagnosis of ALS. We pray that you would watch over them in these days and weeks to come as they learn the course of treatment. We also ask that you'd be with Sheila Bunnell's friend Julian as he continues to go through post-leukemia treatment issues. We pray that those would be over soon, and that you'd restore him to health. We ask that you would be with Christian and Caleb Falls as they now mourn for their uncle, even as they continue to mourn for their father. We pray that you would be in the midst of their lives and help them to know that you walk with them with the hope of eternal life. We give thanks today with Stephanie Bunnell's friends, Marvin and Tony, as they are brought together in marriage. We pray that they would know that you are the source of love and that you are the source and strength for them as they pledge their love for one another. Watch over them. We also ask that you'd be with Maddie Best as she leaves on Wednesday for 2 weeks in France. We pray that you would be with her and her group as they travel. Be with her as she learns the culture and meets people. Help her to be a light for you as she travels. We also ask that you'd be with Steve Best as he travels back and forth to Israel for work. Bless and keep him in his travels. Lord, we thank you that we can bring these prayers to you, knowing that everything comes from you and that everything that we have then is a gift from you. We give you praise and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We continue with the order of the Lord's Supper. I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Since we are gathered to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, and in his incredible generosity shown to us in the death of his only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In perfect love for us, Jesus Christ our God and Lord became incarnate, died, and rose for our sake. He bestows the benefits of his redeeming work on us as he places his body and blood into our mouths in the sacrament of the altar. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and you're coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share that peace with those around you. You may be seated. Please stand. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Remember us, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to our aid when you save them, that we may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that we may share in the joy of your nation, so we may join your inheritance in giving praise. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, so that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Seated. Good to gather this weekend. Few reminders, gift card orders to support Youth and Family Ministry, those are due by Wednesday, June 1st. Also, we are still in need of different help for Vacation Bible School, a few different lead positions and other ways that you can assist. They are having a training on Wednesday night, June 1st, at I believe starting at 6 o'clock. Be a great opportunity, even if you weren't sure if you can help, to come that night and kind of say, hey, you know what, I think I could help, and they'll make sure that you feel equipped and empowered to help for VBS. Registrations are coming right along, and so we look forward to that week. Chelsea Todd and Nicole Todd are at the back to help you sign up for the prayer room in June. Hopefully you watched my video about the prayer room and have started thinking about signing up. Our assigned days this year at the prayer room are June 3rd, which is Friday, Saturday, June 11th, and then Friday, June 17th. Those are the days where Bethel is really trying to cover as much of the day as possible. The theme this year among the Go Together churches is praying round the clock. My goal is kind of to have somebody in the prayer room from like 6 a.m. till midnight. If we get overnight hours, if you love those overnight hours, that's awesome. Go pray. But if we can cover at least 6 a.m. till midnight, that would be wonderful. The room is set up differently this year, different prompts for what to be praying for. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. Chelsea and Nicole can answer other questions that you have. If one of those dates doesn't work for you, sign up for any time. And remember, this is open all year. Anytime you can schedule an hour in there, whether it's for you, your family, a small group, friends, anything like that. So see them today. And then finally, if you could help put chairs up, that would be great. This is our summer season and our summer routine. And I look forward to greeting you at the door.